With me again in the studio is a guest host today, Dr. Steve Pettit, who is an evangelist and also serves as the camp director for Northland Camp and Conference Center. Glad to have you here today,
Thank
Steve.
Thank you, Sam.
And again, we are privileged to have your daughter here with us, Becca. You were with us in our last program, and for those of you who may be joining us for the first time today, Becca has spent the last 2 years studying in Israel, in Jerusalem.
It's a privilege to be here.
Tell us the name of the university again.
I go to a school called Jerusalem University College. It was once called the Institute of Holy Land Studies for older listeners.
And you know, in a moment of colossal brain deadness, I can't believe I failed to ask you this on our last program, but what are you studying over there?
I'm studying religion and culture in the Middle East, but that is pretty much concentrated on Israel, Palestine, and then the countries around there. So early Christianity, Eastern Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
So early Christianity in the sense of?
The first 200 years.
So like right there at the beginning,
part
of it. And the Eastern Christianity?
Eastern Christianity.
Like Eastern Orthodoxy?
Oriental Orthodox and also Eastern Orthodox, yes.
Okay, all right. And then what was the other one?
Islam and Judaism.
So really you're looking at the four major
roots
out of which all of this sprung.
The big roots.
Which is actually a great thing because you will probably have some insights into the topic we want to talk about today. Steve, with the advent and the release of the Da Vinci Code and the book now having been out for almost 2 years now, there is a great deal of interest in the topic that we have been talking about, and that is really the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm not here today to talk about the Da Vinci Code. Maybe we'll do another broadcast with that. But I'm using that as just a reminder to our listeners that all of a sudden this topic, the, who is Jesus Christ, has really come to the foreground. And I know that this is not the first time in our culture that this has happened. I know that in the years that you were growing up and myself as well, there were musicals like Jesus Christ Superstar, and there have always been interest in this. But it just seems like we're in an era where there has been a great deal of interest in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, it's very interesting, Sam, that you brought up a Jesus Christ Superstar, because in one of the songs that was sung during that opera, Mary Magdalene, who was a follower of Jesus, sang a song. And in her lyrics, she proclaimed that Jesus, that he is just a man. He is just a man. It is undeniable that the most significant issue of Christianity is whether or not Jesus Christ was just a man, or is he truly the Son of God? This has been the dividing line and the ongoing conflict in the history of Christianity.
Now, I think we would all agree that Jesus Christ was at least a man.
Some were not sure if he really lived, but it's a factual history.
I mean, would that be true in what your experience is, Becca, over in Israel?
Absolutely. I think everyone recognizes the existence of Jesus.
And that he was a human being, that he was a man.
I think that is the connection with a lot of people there, that he is a man, and maybe we have misunderstood him in their minds.
Okay. So, I mean, really, there were times in the church's history where his humanity was questioned. But
Right. Really,
what's going on right now is we're all pretty much agreed that he was a man. The real question is, was he more than a man?
Exactly.
And what would you say the New Testament teaches about that?
Well, there can't be any clearer statement and teaching in the New Testament than the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. For example, in the opening statement of the Gospel of Mark, it says the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When the angels announced to Mary that she was going to have a baby supernaturally through the virgin birth, the angel said that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. When Jesus was baptized in the river Jordan, when he began his ministry by John the Baptist, John said, I've seen and testified that this is the Son of God. It's very interesting, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, after his baptism experience, he went into the wilderness. The devil himself said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And so throughout all of the life of Christ, the scriptures make it very clear that he was declared to be the Son of God.
Okay, so question. All right, the scriptures talk about us, me, you know, our listeners that know him as being children of God. could those verses be talking about Jesus in that sense, that like we're also sons of God?
It's not possible that when you read the New Testament that you can come away with that. Let me give you a very clear verse. John chapter 1, verse 18. The first 18 verses of the Gospel of John were called the prologue, the
sure,
introduction.
Right.
The last verse of that prologue, verse 18, says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And that is speaking of the fact that when Christ came into this world, he came as a unique man, and that he was all human being like you and I, but at the exact same time, he was all God. He was God in human flesh. And so what we find here is that the statement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not referring to him like a child of God like you and I, but it was completely different. Mm-hmm. It actually means that Christ was co-equal with his Father in nature, because the phrase "son of" was a common way among Jews to reveal that the Son possessed the same nature as the Father. And for Christ to be called the Son of God, it means that he possessed the exact same nature as his Father.
So this would be like, and I'm going to use an opposite example, this would be like somebody calling somebody a son of foolishness.
Right.
You possess the characteristic of a fool or whatever.
Exactly.
In this case, you're the Son of God. You have his identical character.
Exactly. You know, in our Declaration of Independence, we say all men are created equal. I have two sons. No one would think that my sons have a different nature than I have, even though they may be in subjection to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christ claimed to be the Son of God, he was claiming equality with God. Fact is, in John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus made a statement that stirred up the anger of the people of that day. He said, "I and my Father are one." The Jews that were there picked up stones to stone him.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked them a question. He said, "Of all the good works that I have done, for which work are you stoning me?" And their response was significant. They said, "For a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, has made thyself equal with God." They understood what he was saying.
Let me ask you, Becca, and because I think your dad's making a great point here, that when Jesus was making the claims that he recorded for us in the New Testament, that the Jewish people of his day fully understood what he was trying to say. Would that be an accurate assessment in your experience of what you see there?
I think that the Jewish people of his day, especially the Pharisees, would have understood what he was saying.
Which is why they wanted to stone him.
The blasphemous aspect of that, yes. That would be the reason why.
Mm.
I would agree.
And I think that's really the point. That is the sticking point. Because people are not necessarily opposed to a Jesus who is human who can do miracles.
Mm-hmm.
There have always been claims of humans doing miracles. And so that's really not the sticking point. The sticking point is not that we have a guy who could walk on water, or who could raise dead people, or who could heal the blind, or could open the ears of the deaf, that we would acknowledge that. The sticking point is that as a fully human being, he was also fully God. That's the part that is hard.
When John said, "No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath revealed him," or he hath declared him. There are some key statements there. First of all, that no one can see God because God is a spirit. He is unknowable by man seeking to find him. Most religions of the world are essentially man trying to discover God, to find God. They are searching for some way to know him. But really, Christianity and really Judaism in its core and its essence is God revealing himself to man. It's God coming to man. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The meaning of the word "word" is the Greek word logos. And the idea of it is that the way we express what we are thinking is by the words that come out of our mouth. And when that is being referred to in that verse, it is referring to God coming and expressing himself to man so that man would know what who mm-hmm. God is. And in John 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh," or the Word became a human being. So what we find in John's gospel is that the unknown God that no man can see came and expressed himself to the world in an incarnate human form, and that form was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. And when it says he hath declared him, it literally means he hath come to explain to us and to interpret for us correctly who God is. That's why when Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, what he was saying is, I have come to explain to you and express to you who God is.
Yeah, he's the express image
exactly.
of the Father. So let me ask, let me make an observation, and I'd like to get your takes on this. We typically try to prove the deity of Christ with the fact that he could do miracles and that he said things that nobody else could say. He received worship of men. He did. But at the end of the day, it seems to me that you just have to come to the words of the New Testament and believe them, because all of these proofs leave you short of a definitive answer. Is that a fair statement?
Well, there were four – from the New Testament, Jesus said there were four things that proved his deity. One was his works, what he did.
Okay.
Number two were his words, what he said. Number three was the testimony of John the Baptist, who was a Old Testament prophet, last Old Testament mm-hmm. prophet, who declared that Jesus was the Son of God. And then number four, it was the testimony of his Father from heaven when he said at his baptism, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But ultimately, you still have to believe it. That's why faith is a matter of the will.
Well, and that's where I'm coming, because you have other manuscripts. These are the claims. For example, we talked about the Da Vinci Code at the beginning. This is not the first time that this has surfaced. This has been going on since the church began, and I think you probably could speak
sure.
to that, Becca.
I think that, you know, living in Jerusalem, for one, there is about a million different people who will tell you a million different things about the Bible, and there's always a controversy. There's always a reason why you shouldn't believe that this is true.
We got these gospels that we found sure. in the desert, the sure. Gospel of Judas, all of these things.
And part of my experience there is the fact that you just truly have to believe. And if you don't believe this, then your faith will be like sifting sand pretty much.
But you really have to come back to the Word that reveals all of the proofs. I mean, we wouldn't have the proofs that you're talking about if we didn't have a closed canon that we could trust.
And it's all about credibility. Is this really credible? Do we really believe this is true? And we have his word that has been given to us as the truth. Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it really comes back to the credibility of Jesus Christ.
And Jesus looked at people in his own day who heard all these words and rejected and said, the reason you don't believe is because you have not been given this to believe. So there will always be Da Vinci codes.
Always.
And there will always be people of faith.
Always.
I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast today. You can get a transcript of today's broadcast by asking for it. Hope you'll write in and let us know how the programs are a blessing to you. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.